Hello, my name is Corey Nick.
And I'm Erica Bobka.
I'm at the Avon Branch Library conducting an interview with Tom Stockard on April 3rd, 2019 for the Avon, Ohio Oral Histories Project. Thank you for allowing us to interview you, Mr. Stockard. Will you share your birth date and age?
I was born May the 8th, 1834.
And so how old are you?
I'm 84, but I'll be 85 in a month, so okay.
And how long have you lived in Avon?
All of my days. I was born here.
Where in Avon did you grow up and where do you live now?
I was born at, 3750 Stony Ridge Road. And now I live at 2574 Stony Ridge Road.
Tell me about your family.
There was 10 children in my family. I was like the sixth child of 10. And needless to say, growing up was kind of like a learning experience. I learned how to read and write before I went into first grade. We didn't have kindergarten at that time. But I had older siblings who taught me how to read. I wanted to read the comics, okay? So when I got to the first grade, I already had a jump because I could read. I couldn't hardly write, but I could read at six, okay?
Tell me what your family got here, your dad.
Oh, yeah, my father was born in central Minnesota, and my mother was born in western Canada in a place called Bashaw, Alberta, which is, very close to the Arctic Circle up there. They didn't have too many or too long of a summer, okay, because I had been up there. And they had relatives or friends that lived here, and that's why we came to Avon. My family did anyway, around 1920 maybe. But
What are some of your favorite family memories?
Well, I just mentioned some of them. Some was like, you know, let me put it this, there was no TV at the time, and we barely had a radio. And our family thing was like playing cards or doing things like that, because that was a simple life. That's how I grew up. Oh, also, out in the field all the time, I was either hunting or fishing or doing something, looking at birds or exploring nature, you know. That's what growing in Avon was like at that time.
In front of the radio, listening to the ball games and stuff.
Oh, yeah, listen to the ball games. Oh, yeah. Like I said, it was more of a simple life back then. And we had to do what we had to do.
We've
had a farm, raising chickens, cows, pigs, horses, everything.
When Grandma would have the dinner, she'd say, "Hey, Tommy, go get me." And what would you do? Go get me the chickens. And
oh, yeah. So I'd have to cut the heads. But at first, I had to play a game out of it because I had a .22 rifle. I would shoot the chickens.
Yeah.
In the head so I didn't ruin the meat, you know. And then I'd cut their throat. But it was a gun culture.
Everybody had a gun.
I could shoot a gun like a mate. My older brothers taught me how to shoot a gun. 5 or 6 years old, I could shoot a gun. And when I was in the, 7th and 8th grade, I took my shotgun on the school bus and went to school and hunted on the way home. Mm-hmm. It was just a way of life here. Yeah. There was it was a different open society.
So where did you go to school?
I went to school at St. Mary's of Avon.
And did you have a favorite teacher or subject or a special memory of your school?
Oh, yes. I had a lot of favorite teachers. They were the Sisters of Notre Dame. And we had no lay teachers at all. It was all Sisters of Notre Dame. And later on in life, when I was working my trade, I went down to, they sent me to a place called Richfield, Ohio, and we're building a retired nun's home there, or they're remodeling it. And I go there and here, lo and behold, two of my sisters were there. And they said, "Oh, Thomas, it's good to, you know, he was a name like Thomas. You know, it's good to see you." And, you know, that they said, "This Friday, you know, it's the first Friday of the month, we expect you at Mass. Yes, sister, I'll be there. So I went there before work, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I went to Mass with my old sisters, two of them that taught me in grade school. And then I had breakfast with them. It was one of the highlights of my life.
So did you go to St. Mary's all through high school or?
No. I had a little interruption there. When I was in between going to grade school to high school, I got hit by a car. And I was dragged down the road about, you know, maybe 500 feet, and I was injured very bad. And when I went to school then, I lost a lot of schooling, and, you know, they failed me. So I said, okay, so the next year I'm going to start school. Well, I get a new bike then, and I get a paper route. You couldn't guess what happened. I got hit by a car again. So when I started school, you start school in like September, you know. I started school in about, January, February. And they said, oh, my God, we can't set you back yet, but you ain't going to make it. You lost too much school already, you know what I mean? So, okay. So this is like the movie, what's that movie? They repeat everything over and over. Groundhog Day. I go back to school again. I start school. I'm in the ninth grade again. I said, no, I'm not. I told my father, I says, I'm out of here. You got to get me out of this situation. I can't take this anymore. And that's the last school I went to.
So do you have any impressions on how the schools are different today?
Oh, yes, very, very. Yeah. When I went to school, they taught us. We didn't call it cursive writing, it was penmanship. That was one of our things we got grades on, penmanship. Language, English, you know. Geography, history, math. That was the basic elements of my teaching when I went to school. Well, and of course...
They still do that now, of course, but...
I had older sisters that when I was laid up recuperating, they brought me encyclopedias home from the library in high school. And I read them. All I could do, boy, I just couldn't wait till I got the next one, you know? And kind of was thirsty for knowledge, like anybody should be.
Are there special community events you remember from growing up here?
Yeah, I remember Wick Lane when they had a raffle to get the first new fire engine. You know, because we only had one old beat-up one, and then we got a new one around 1946. And it was all volunteer firemen, you know. And it was just a community effort to do everything, you know what I mean? It was just, we had one school bus. And it had two routes, you know. So if you were on the second bus, you know, like I was, well, we'd get out of school like 2:30 or 3 o'clock. Well, then if you had the second bus, the bus didn't come to like 4 o'clock. So I lived about exactly 1 mile from the school. I would just walk or run home or nothing. And that was a great memory of Avon. Now you see all the school buses. Just think back, one school bus for the whole town.
So what did you do for fun in Avon when you were younger?
I worked.
What kind of jobs?
I worked in a greenhouse. A guy by the name of William Jensen. He was from, that's the mayor's uncle, by the way, great uncle. I worked for him. He had a floral greenhouse over on Center Road, and I learned a lot over there. I learned how to wire, you know, electricity. I could hook up anything, all the controls, 220-volt pumps. I did this all when I was 12, 13 years old.
You made a radio.
Oh, I used to get kits. I make radios, you know what I mean? Solder them together.
Crystal radios.
Oh, yeah, and I did crystal radios, yeah. Yeah, you just had to do things like that, you know? It was a great life growing up in Avon. Very little, let me put it this way. It was an open society. The laws were just, you know, gambling, drinking. That was wide open, you know. I could go, if I wanted a beer and they knew my parents, I'd go get a beer when I was 14 years old, you know what I mean? It was simple, simple life.
How has the community of Avon changed over the years?
How's the word great? Great change. When I left home here in 1952, and I was gone, I got back in 57, early 57.
56.
56. Northgate was built. We had city water. The old mill burned down where we used to play back at Avon, or back at St. Mary's School, back by the creek back there. It was the biggest change in Avon that was made. I wasn't here. When I came home, I found all this stuff, you know. Gee. We even had a bank. And I can tell you a story about the bank, and you'll love the story. I go to the bank. I get what they call a mustering out pay. When you get, you know, out of the service, they, after you're out about 30 days, you get a $300 check. It was called mustering out pay. So I take this check to the bank to cash it. The clerk or the teller says, I'm sorry, we don't cash your check unless you have an account here. Well, I said, I'd like to open an account after I cash my check. No, we cannot cash your check unless you have an account. I says, is the manager here? They said, yeah. I says, I'd like to, listen, I'm like 22 or 23 years old now. I said, I'd like to talk to the manager, please. The manager comes out. I said, I have a check that comes from the Department of Defense from the United States, and I can't cash it. He says, well, that's because we have a policy here. We cannot cash your check unless you have an account here. I said, you see that door there? He says, yeah. I says, I will never darken your door as long as I live in this town. And I was born and raised here. I was hot. And then I just spoke with someone else, and he says, well, just why don't you just go down to Avon Lake, the Second Federal down there, right by the movie. There's a bank. I went down there, showed him the check. Oh, this is not a problem, Mr. Stockard. We'll cash your check, and you can open an account here if you'd like. I said, okay. That was one of my first experiences coming home and the great change in Avon. Mm-hmm. And to this day, we had meetings in that bank because I joined the VFW, and they had the meetings in the bank basement. I wouldn't go there. I said, I'm not going to go to the meetings there. Jeez. And can you blame me? Okay. That was an experience, if that's what you want to hear about this time.
Sure. What special things about Avon would you want people who did not grow up here to know?
The people that did not grow up here, I would like them to know the way the days used to be and how it was that all the kids worked on farms during the summer. And there was no, you know, everybody running around with these little iPads and all that stuff. There's none of that going on. You know, we didn't have any of that stuff. I think that a lot of the kids would be better off, you know, making their own stuff, playing unsupervised games like we did. We didn't have any organized, like, softball or little league when I grew up. It was just whoever had a bat and a ball, a bunch of guys would get together, and when you left the outfield, you have to leave your glove out there and share it with the other guys, because not everybody had a baseball glove. So, yeah. And did we learn more? I think we did. We learned how to share, learn how to get along with very little, and do a lot with it. Okay.
So are there any stories of any famous people or events in Avon history that you'd like to share?
Avon history. Oh, yeah, I remember we had one officer of the law here. And you could find him every Friday night out at the gas station where they had the army blanket on the floor in a crap game. With his gun holster. And there was, you know, money flowing all over the place, yeah. And that was open gambling in Avon at that time. And also, it could be on either at the gas station or on the front porch of Avon Isle. There'd be crap games over there. I don't know if you know anything about crap. You know anything about crap games? Dice games?
I know what it is. I don't know how to play it. Yeah.
It's very simple. If you have money and you'd like to lose some, I'll show you how. And then on Fridays and Saturdays, we had open poker games, money on a table poker games going on in beer joints in the back rooms. When I was just a kid. Also, you go hunting, you got your limit maybe, you just come to town with your hunting jacket on, stand your gun up in the corner in a bar and go sit down and have a beer. That was the way we used to do it. Very open society, unregulated. But I don't remember anybody shooting anybody on purpose, ever, all the while I grew up. Very little crime in this town. How about none? I don't remember any crime.
Yeah. Well, but back to the question, really, anybody important like that? Like
I think the constable was very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, a very important man. He was the only law in town.
So. Is there anything else you would like to share with us today?
Like I said, I grew up here, and I wouldn't think of any other place I would rather be than growing up in this town. I wouldn't exchange it for anything.
What about your, probably the, one of the favorite things he did growing up, he couldn't wait for that pheasant season.
Oh, God.
2 weeks of pheasant season here because.
Oh, that was like, oh, we got out of school. Oh, yeah.
The city was perfect for the ringneck pheasant to survive and to propagate here. And they had 2 weeks to hunt.
Oh, yeah. That's all. The first 2 weeks in November 15th to November 30th was the hunting season. And that was it.
And that was a
big That was deal. A biggie. Oh, yeah. That was a there big was a that big thrill.
A lot of pheasants here. Yeah. It would rival any place that you went, would pay to go out west to hunt. It was right here in Avon. Now, he got to live it. I didn't, but
yeah.
Tell him the pheasants would be out in your garden like chickens.
Oh, yeah. It was just, like I say, it's a wonderful place to grow up. Like I said, it was unregulated, really, but nobody did anything crazy, though. You know what I mean? We didn't have, car races, guys would have some few drag races on the strip, but again, you had to be able to fix everything yourself. If something broke, if you don't know how to fix it, it didn't get fixed. So that was another thing. You had to learn to do things. If you didn't, it was rough to survive.
They made their own utility vehicles for the farm out of
Like
an old tractor and a truck. They would combine them together.
Oh, yeah, and make your own tractor.
What
do
you guys call them in the day? They were called what? Doodle?
Yeah, doodle bugs. Oh, yeah.
Doodle bugs. It would be like the front of a car or a with a steering wheel, but it would have a tractor rear end so it could go through the dirt.
Yeah, and you could pull implements out in the field with it if you didn't have money to buy a real tractor. You know what I mean?
And so they made all that stuff, and that's what they did.
But it was a great learning experience in working for Mr. Bill Jensen, the guy he worked for. I know I've heard about child labor laws, but you know what I worked when I was 11 years old? I worked 60 hours a week. Yeah. I worked 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, 11 years old. Did it hurt me? Hell no. When I went in the Air Force, everybody else was, I thought, where'd they get all these people? They don't know what they're doing. They're all dumb. I could do anything. Among my peers, I had all kinds of experience. Because growing up in Avon, if you couldn't do it yourself, it didn't get done. So, yeah, that was a great experience. And that's what I can relate that today. Never had a great education. I went through my life as a supervisor all the time, as a bricklayer foreman, from the time I was 26 till I retired when I was 62. Did lack of education hurt me? Not really, because I had a great education in Avon, not a formal one, but a good one. Or survival education.
Thank you for coming in today.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'm just trying to think, any very important person? Yes, I will mention one. And I think he's part of the history thing. Jack Smith, Taylor Jack Smith, Taylor John Smith. His father was the doctor in town. He took care of me when I was all ground up by the cars and all that. Yeah, he was very, very, and a nice man, and a good man. I would say, growing up in my lifetime, he was the most important man in town, was Dr. Smith. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for